Welcome to the Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. You are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and today's message is entitled, He Loves Me, But He Hurts Me. Before I get into today's message, I would like to share a poem that I wrote that is entitled, I Used to Be His Girl. Now, many of you know that I love to write and I often share my private pain for public profit. And I am a survivor of domestic violence. I used to be victimized. You see, my thinking was stinking, and I was messed up in my mind, messed up in my emotions, and I wore my hurt and pain like a badge of honor. But one day, hallelujah, I met Jesus at the well, and he talked to me. He talked with me. He told me some things about myself. I told him some things about myself, and my whole life changed. And I began to see me through God's eyes. So the name of this piece that I'm about to share with you, it's entitled, I Used to Be His Girl. You see, I belonged to somebody else that didn't even love me, that didn't even appreciate me. But now that I'm God's girl, let me tell you something. I am loved every day. I am appreciated every day. God takes very good care of me. He is my provider. He protects me. He defends me. He watches over me. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for delivering me. I thank God for setting me free. You see, I used to be his girl. But now, hallelujah, I'm God's girl. And I'm no longer abused by a man that said that he loved me only to use and abuse me. And I'm smiling brightly because the only one that is using me now is God. You see, God took my mess. He turned it into a message to encourage others on their journey of self-discovery, healing, forgiveness, deliverance, help with reclaiming their true identity, their self-worth, their goodness, the uniqueness of who they are, fearfully and wonderfully made a good thing, and helping them to see, tap into, and unleash their hidden potential, to help them reject the lies of the enemy that have clouded their thinking, how they view and think about themselves, that have distracted, deceived, hindered, paralyzed, and prevented them from being all that they can be and accomplishing their dreams. Who am I? I'm just a humble servant that stopped by to let you know that you are worthy, you are wanted, you are a winner, you are good enough, you deserve the best. And the bottom line is, it's time to stop settling for less. Eloquently speaking, do not allow the hurts and pains of your past to dictate your future. Learning to love, value, honor, and respect and appreciate yourself, listen, it will catapult you to that special place where you can do anything and be anything you want to be. Take off all the limitations. Let go of all of the negatives. Embrace the positives and know that God loves you. God loves you. Let me say that again. God loves you. And I know because God loves me. And I love you, and I need you to survive. Do you remember that song by Gloria Gaynor? I Will Survive. The first line of that song, it says, at first I was afraid. I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without him by my side. I spent so many nights feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry, but hallelujah, because God has healed me. Jeremiah 17 and verse 14, it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be saved. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." At first, I was afraid. I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without him by my side. I spent so many nights feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry. But now I hold my head up high and you see me, somebody new. And I just have to pause for a praise break and remind you of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 18th and the 19th verses. "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, but behold the new thing that is springing forth." Gloria Gaynor said, "But now I hold my head up high and you see me, somebody new. I'm not that chained up little person still in love with you. I survived." And I say to you today that you will survive. You will come out of this. "No weapons formed against you shall prosper. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world." God said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. "Marvelous are thy works, and this I know quite well." You are loved. You are appreciated. You are the apple of God's eyes. And God wants you to know today that you don't have to be his girl. God wants you to be his girl. God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free. God has need of you. God has a special place and a special job just for you. And no matter what happened to you, I don't care what was did, what was said. "No weapons formed against you shall prosper." God wants to put you back together again. Every day, women are being told, "But I love you," by the men that abuse them. Every day, women are being told, "I'm sorry, baby. I won't do it again. Please forgive me." And guess what? Every day, women forgive their abusers in the good part of their relationship, the honeymoon, you know, the kiss and makeup part, the sex part, the caressing part, where he wines you and dines you and he takes you out to dinner and he has the special romantic jazz music on and everything is fine. And it appears to be good for a while. You see, I like to call it deception perfected, because it's nothing but a device to soothe you for the moment. And as long as he's in that good place, you're safe. But the moment he gets irritated, the moment he gets frustrated, the moment he embraces the spirit of exasperation, guess what? The honeymoon is over, sis. And he's going to abuse you again. He's going to hit you again. He's going to curse you out again. He's going to mentally and emotionally and psychologically abuse you. He's going to place you in bondage. And he's going to come back again. "Oh, I love you. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I won't do it again." And then we come back to the honeymoon cycle. Now, this time, he's not going to take you out to dinner because you have a black eye. And he doesn't want to bring attention to you or to him. So he cooks this beautiful dinner for you and he sets the table and he has the candles and the flowers. And it's a lovely meal, some chocolate covered strawberries, some whipped cream and your favorite chocolate chip cookies. And you're smiling underneath that black eye. And you allow him to take your hand as you get up from the table and you begin to dance. And everything appears to be good while you're dancing, while he's spinning you around, and he carries you upstairs, and you go to the bedroom, and all of your hurt and all of your pain, it's absorbed in the orgasm. It's absorbed in the way that he holds you. It's absorbed in the way that he caresses you. And so you connect with that fantasy, you connect with that lie, and you say, you know what? It's going to work this time. And then you begin to deceive yourself, and you jump over the truth to believe a lie. And ladies, we've all been there at one point or another. But an orgasm has nothing to do with love. When the sex is good, you will have special feelings for the person that you are having sex with. And if that person is not your husband, a soul tie is forming with that person. And it's an unauthorized soul tie. And it gets control of you. We're talking about demonic and sexual oppression and manipulation now. Because your abuser is well aware of how you are responding to his touch. He's well aware of how you are responding to the ecstasy. This is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we are raw. This is a radio station that has been established for real people with real problems that are looking for real soul, S-O-U-L, solutions. I'm not here to candy coat anything. If you don't like what you hear, you could simply turn it off. But I'm here to speak the truth. I'm here to expose the works of the enemy. I'm here to tear down strongholds. I'm here to open up the prison doors and set the captives free. He loves you, but he hurts you. He loves you, but he disrespects you. In the moment he takes you on this honeymoon and prepares a nice little meal and he romances you, the orgasm deceives you. The orgasm takes you right back to that place where you put on the mask and you camouflage all of the things that you know that are wrong. But because you're not ready for healthy confrontation, you sweep it under the rug and you say everything is okay, but it's not okay. And then you wake up in the morning and he goes to work and he kisses you goodbye, baby, have a good day. And everything may be good for a week. It may be good for 2 weeks. It may be good for a month. But something is going to happen. Something is going to upset him. And something is going to cause him to take out his frustrations on you. Now, underneath the surface, he has root issues that need to be dealt with. But because he's afraid to take off the mask, because he is not at that place of healthy confrontation and acceptance that he has a problem, he will continuously take it out on you, and you will continuously be in this cycle of abuse. You will continuously be on this merry-go-round until you are ready to take off the mask. And believe me, you may not be there right now, and I'm not judging anybody. I thank you for accepting me where I am, because I accept you where you are. You may be in the beginning of an abusive relationship. You may be in the middle of an abusive relationship. You may be at the end of an abusive relationship. You may be coming out of it. You may be out of it already. But you know what? At one point or another, we believed the lies of the enemy and we made excuses We justified the behaviors of those that said that they loved us, but they didn't love us. And today I come to break the silence about domestic violence. Today I come to expose the works of the enemy. That joker don't love you. If he loved you, he would never put his hands on you. Deception perfected. We talking about the fantasy stage of an abusive relationship where the woman that is being abused holds on to the good things. Listen, stop rehearsing how good he was in the beginning. Stop rehearsing how he used to hold the door. Stop rehearsing all of these wonderful things he did. It was an evil plot. It was a wicked device. It was manipulation. It was intimidation. Once he got you where he wanted you, then what happened? He isolated you. He separated you from your family. He separated you from your friends. And he started taking away your power. He took away your voice the first time he hit you and said, "I'm sorry, baby. Please don't tell nobody. I won't do it again." And because you loved him, because you believed him, you said, "Shh, I'm hurting real bad, but I'm not going to tell anybody. Shh. I'm hurting real bad and I'm so humiliated and I'm so embarrassed. I've been seeing women get beat, cursed out, disrespected, and I never thought in a million years I would be in this situation, so I can't tell anybody. Where's my makeup? I'm just going to put my makeup on and I'm going to cover up my face and I'm going to put this mask on and I'm going to be on my best behavior and I'm going to do everything right. I'm going to say everything right. I'm going to make him happy." No. No, no, it's not about making him happy. It's about you advocating for yourself. It's about you accepting the truth and stop jumping over the truth to believe a lie. Deception is an act. It's a trick to deceive. It's an act to deceive or to mislead. It's a device that is used by people that take advantage of other people. Deception is to deliberately make somebody believe something that is not true. So if you saw my post on Facebook, I had a man that was holding a woman and they didn't have clothes on. And the writing on his back said, "I lied just so I could be with her." Do you know how many men are lying with women today just so that they can have sex with them? Do you know how many men have sex with them and the sex is so good and the woman gets turned out by the orgasm? Yes, I'm going to keep talking about that orgasm because the orgasm is what is deceiving you. The orgasm is associated with lust, and lust is the counterfeit of love. So you say, "Oh, I love you. I'm so in love." And now he looks at you. He knows that he doesn't love you. He's in love with the orgasm. He's in love with how you make him feel. He's in love with how he makes you feel because he's reading you like a book. He's studying you. And he's making up in his mind while you having the orgasm, the next thing that he's going to do to you to turn you out. So now you're going to start doing things that you never even thought you would do. And you're going to walk in this fantasy. You're going to play this role. And you're going to allow this man to hurt you even deeper. Now, this is not about condemnation. I'm just telling you. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say this? You must not eat from any tree in the garden." So why am I sharing that scripture in Genesis, the third chapter and the first verse? I'm going to tell you why. Those who practice the artful deception, those who practice the art of deception are very crafty. Abusers are very crafty. Abusers, I'm going to say that again. They are very, very crafty. They're crafty with their words. They're crafty with their actions. They're crafty with what they do and what they say. And because they have studied you like a book, they say what you want to hear. And once you hear it, you say, okay, everything's okay, but it's really not okay. And then you silently cry in the bathroom. You silently cry when you're in the shower. And you make the water as hot as you can make it because you feel dirty. You feel defiled. After the orgasm, yeah, you feel good in that moment, but afterwards you really feel bad because you know you're better than that. So, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 10th and the 12th verse, 10th, 11th, and 12th verse, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his might. Be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, my sister, let me break it down to you. It's not even about the man, okay? It's about the spirit that's in operation. This man is being controlled by a demonic entity. This man is being controlled by spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And guess what? The assignment is to take you out. The assignment is to rob, to steal, to kill, to destroy you. The assignment is to make you feel unworthy. The assignment is to abandon you. The assignment is to cause you to be isolated. The assignment is to cause you to be rejected. The assignment is to kill your self-esteem. The assignment is to steal your confidence so that you will no longer think right and accurately about yourself. You see, this is an assassination against your life. The devil wants to kill you, and he's using this abusive relationship to break you down. He loves me, but he hurts me. Both the abuser and the abusee, they are walking in deception. We're talking about deception perfected today. The blind leading the blind, and they are both in denial. Denial is to refuse to believe in something or admit that something exists. Now, in this case, the abuser knows that he has a problem, but pride won't let him acknowledge it. And then fear paralyzes him. It stops him from asking for help. So he ignores it. He don't even sweep it under the rug. He just ignores it. He walks around it. He walks over it. But I'm sorry, Psalms 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We can't ignore things. We can't say, oh, it's going to go away. Things are going to get better. The devil is a liar. I'm going to read that again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So why is it that you can't get out of this situation? Excuse me. Why is it that you can't come to this place of acceptance where you can gather everything in one place and say, okay, God, this is where I am. I don't like where I'm at. I want to get out of this situation. And I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to remove the scales from my eyes and allow me to see the truth. Every area where I have been in agreement with the lies of the enemy, I come out of agreement with that lie. I recognize through this verse that Stacy just shared in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, that there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms that have been fighting against me. And Father, so where I didn't have on the whole armor of God, I put on the whole armor of God. And I ask that you forgive me, and I ask that you strengthen me. And God, I'm so weak right now. You know, when I first started having sex with this person, I wasn't even having sex. I was celibate because I was by myself for a long time, and I was waiting for my husband, and you was ministering to me, God, and we had such sweet fellowship. And then I met this guy, and he was so nice. He was so sweet. He said all of the right things, and we started going out, and we dated for a long time before I even had sex with him. And I cried so bad. I cried so bad, and I felt so convicted. And he told me that everything was going to be okay, that you was going to forgive me. And we went out, and we just started dating, and I started getting comfortable with having sex with him. But afterwards, I would still feel bad, but I didn't cry as much because I was getting comfortable, and I was enjoying what I was doing because it felt good to me. And so God, after a while, I didn't feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost anymore. And I had sex, and I had sex, and everything was just okay. Until that first day where he hit me. And I cried. And I knew that something was wrong. And I wanted to get away. I wanted to get out of the relationship. But God, it was so hard. My thinking wasn't right. I was so confused, and I felt like I was stuck. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go because I felt ashamed. You know, I didn't want my family to know because what would they do to him? And I really didn't want him to get locked up because he really is a good man and he has a good job, and you know, he just needs help. Maybe I'll just pray for him. I'll just pray for him, and he'll be okay. So that's just a little example of things that happen in abusive relationships. Can you relate to something I just said? Did you find yourself in that situation? Powers and principalities. Everything that happens, every assignment against your life, it's created in the second heavens. And it's in the second heavens where the devil, his demons, where the assignments against your life, they target their birth right there. They're born right there. So let's talk about the abuser that doesn't want to acknowledge the truth because pride has control of him. Now, the strong man for the spirit of pride is the spirit of haughtiness. And a lot of times, abusers, they have narcissistic behavior. They will never acknowledge that they did something wrong. They will never tell you that they are sorry. We're talking about, he loves me, but he hurts me. This is Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry, and you are listening to Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And right now we're highlighting the abuser who knows that he has a problem, but pride won't let him acknowledge it, and fear paralyzes him. And I did a little skit in the middle of this message as an example to show both the men and the women how the enemy operates in a relationship, a sexual relationship that is also an abusive relationship, and where the building process leads to abuse, leads to her getting hurt, either physically, emotionally, or mentally. And then the abuser, he feels bad. He says, I'm sorry, I love you, I'll never do it again. But he's lying because he's in denial. Remember a few moments ago, I said denial is to refuse to believe in something or admit that something exists. So if you are in an abusive relationship today, as long as your abuser is in denial, he is never going to get the help that he needs. And as long as you are in denial about his issues, As long as you continue to pacify and make excuses for his behavior, as long as you are in agreement to be his punching bag, guess what? This vicious cycle is going to continue. So let's talk about the abusee for a moment. The abusee knows that she has a problem and she is with him because she doesn't want to deal with her own problem. And all along, she knows that he has a problem, but because he loves her, deception perfected, she keeps his problems, she accepts his problems, into her life. And because the orgasm has her heart all tangled up in this web of deception, this web of lies, she adopts his problems into her life as her own, nurturing them. And in return, it starts to weaken her. It starts to drain her. It starts to shut her down. But she continues to accept his love, because in accepting his love, she is covering up her own issues, her own inadequacies, her low self-esteem. And we expect their children to live happy, normal, and productive lives. Deception perfected is tearing homes up, y'all. And it's time to break the silence about domestic violence. It's time to come out of denial. It's time to come into that place of acceptance. Is it his fault? Is it her fault? Dig this. I don't care whose fault it is. I'm not here to find fault. I'm here to bring real issues to the table. This is not an opportunity to find fault, but this is an opportunity to bring real solutions to the table for both the victims and the abusers of domestic violence. You see, they both need help. Whenever someone is in an abusive relationship, whether it's a male or a female, we tend to just look at the one that has been abused. Excuse me. And we don't look at the one that's doing the abusing. When we do, we're very hostile towards that person, and we don't look underneath the surface and see that this person needs help. It's something wrong. So he needs help just like she needs help. So the purpose of this message is to provide information that will empower you, to help you, and empower you to help somebody else, to get the help that they need, to encourage you to save a life, to rescue a child, which is the shattered pieces, the residue of broken homes, the results of domestic violence. Abusive behavior is a learned behavior, y'all. It can be changed to a positive behavior. Are you willing to learn what it's going to take to bring forth change? Are you willing to make a sacrifice? You know, give up something for the sake of something else. Isn't that what Jesus did? We love to say that it takes a village to raise a child, and I say that it's time for the villagers to come together in love, in peace, in perfect harmony, and lift up our voices on one accord, because there's a child out there somewhere that is waiting for us to sound the alarm. There's a woman out there somewhere that is waiting for us to sound the alarm. There's a man out there that is waiting for us to sound the alarm. There's a child, there's a boy, there's a girl, there's a woman, there's a man that is silently crying, asking for help. Maybe he or she is in your classroom. Maybe they're in your Sunday school class. Maybe you're the coach on the football team, the basketball team. Maybe it's a neighbor or a relative. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's you. Help is available. Are you willing to look beneath the surface and see that hurt people, but healed people help hurt people? get healed. Both the abuser and the abusee are in desperate need of help. Are you a survivor of domestic violence? Would you like to share your story? Would you like to share your testimony to encourage another person? Are you an ex-abuser? Do you have a word of deliverance in your mouth? What did you learn from your experience? How did you get delivered? How did you come out of an abusive relationship? How did you stop abusing the woman that you was abusing? How did you stop abusing the man that you was abusing? How did you stop abusing that child that you was abusing? How? Domestic violence is not a respecter of persons. Today, we have parents getting abused by their children. We have wives being abused by their husbands, husbands being abused by their wives, children abusing their parents, parents abusing their children. And do you know that 65% of all court-ordered domestic violence counseling is for pastors and for ministers? He loves me, but he hurts me. He loves me, but he hurts me. Are you willing to lend a helping hand today? Did something touch your heart today? Listen, as I come to the close, both the abuser and the abusee, they have problems and root issues that need to be dealt with. And 9 times out of 10, he or she doesn't know how to deal with it. And in ignorance, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He takes or she takes their frustrations out on their partner. And I'm not making excuses, neither am I condoning the behavior, the abusive behavior of men and women that abuse their spouses, their partners, their children, their mothers. I don't condone abuse at all. But I am trying to shed light on an area that many people simply do not understand. And it's time for us to stop being so critical and judgmental. It's time for us to really go underneath the surface and allow people to get the help that they need without hurting them in the process. The only way the hurt is going to stop is to break the silence. And breaking the silence and uniting together, we can make a difference. My name is Stacy Lunsford. I am the pastor of poetry. The title of this message, He Loves Me, But He Hurts Me. And the foundational scripture was Jeremiah 17, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Now, as I come to the end of this message today, in the beginning, I shared a poem that I wrote. I used to be his girl. Now I'm God's girl. When I was in an abusive relationship, I had no idea how God was going to use what I learned for his glory. There's so many lessons that I learned, and there's so many lessons that I'm still learning now today. But the biggest lesson I learned was taking off the mask and coming to that place of acceptance and standing accountable for my actions. Not so much concern about what was done to me, but this is where I'm at right now. How am I going to respond to what happened to me? And right there, I had to see the lies that I believed, and I had to see the truth. And on that day, because God had prepared my heart to accept the truth, I came out of agreement with the lies of the enemy. And I came into agreement with the word of God that says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And I also visited Psalm 17, verse 1. In thee, O God, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame that I put my hope in you. Let me never be put to shame that I put my trust in you. And you know what? I have not been put to shame. I've been laughed at. People have talked about me. And it used to bother me. But guess what? It doesn't bother me anymore. You know why? And it goes back to Gloria Gaynor's song. But now I hold my head up high and you see me, somebody new. I'm not that chained up little person, still in love with you. And I survived. My name is Eloquently Speaking. And I survived domestic violence. And I lived to tell my story. He loves me, but he hurts me. Will be available on demand. Please join me for our next episode of The Heartbeat of God, where we talk about the things that are on God's heart. So in case you wasn't sure, you are on God's heart if you are in an abusive relationship and God wants to heal you. God bless you and have a wonderful day.